Good morning. I am so happy to see so many of you who, like me, had their sleep interrupted by missing an hour's worth. But we'll all think nice thoughts about it in a week when we see how light it stays for as long as it does. Whatever. It's wonderful to see all of you as we come together in worship, as we continue our Lenten journey together. This time when we remember our sinfulness, when we confess our weakness, and we contemplate all of God's goodness with all of us. I'm so glad that you can be here. Our pathway through Lent this year continues with our midweek Lenten services on Wednesday evenings. The service begins at 7 p.m. It includes hymns and lessons and prayers. And this year we have been going through the symbols, 12 disciples on our archway. We've listened to information about Andrew and Peter and James and John. And this week we learn more about Philip and Thomas. I hope you can join us. Next Sunday evening, we have a youth group meeting, not tonight, next week, begin at 6 p.m. All youth in grades 9 through 12 are welcome to come. Please, please, please join us for that. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you have a chance to read through and discover all of the ways you can connect to the ministry that goes on in and through this wonderful place. But we've gathered this morning to continue our Lenten path, to be in worship with one another. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Enough. Let us rise and sing together.
Still more awesome than I know. You are.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirst there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us, our children and our livestock, with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because of God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give, that I will give them, will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. For the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more than the harvest? I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from the city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. But when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 2009, I made a trip to Tanzania. I went there to be part of the consecration of the brand new bishop of the Dodoma Diocese, of which the congregation I served had a sister congregation in that diocese, and then I was going to go visit that sister congregation in the village of Songombele. Songombele is a village off the main highway from Dar es Salaam to Dodoma. It's off by 5 or 10 miles, and the road looks like it's on the surface of Mars. It's not really a road. It's kind of marked by something that I could never figure out. But after you're rutting and bouncing and all the rest of that, all of a sudden, houses, buildings, people. Now, I heard that Songombele may have had as many as 20,000 people living in that village. But regardless of the population, in Songombele there was no electricity, there was no running water, there were no paved roads, there were none of the things that we take for granted. It was while visiting Songombele that I learned much about water and its importance in our lives. Walking through the village on Sunday afternoon, we first came to the line of people waiting for the borehole well. Now, that's a well like people out in the country still have at their homes, you know, where you bore a hole down into the ground and there's water and then you connect it to a pump and it comes up. This particular pump was connected to a gas generator. And for those standing in line, after paying a small fee, they could eventually take 20 liters of water, around 5 gallons. Now, this water was potable and usable immediately. And so there were people making their way back and forth to this line. Sometimes children. I watched 2 or 3 young boys try to balance 5 gallons of water on a rickety old bicycle to go over that road that looks like you're on Mars. They probably also took many such trips every day. Later on our walk, we came to the ground wells. These are just sort of great holes in the ground where the water comes up far enough to be dipped out by anyone who comes by. Now, this water is available to anyone. There's no cost like the fee to help pay for the gas to run the generator. But that water in the ground well has to be boiled 4 hours if it's going to be used by people to eat or clean or cook. 4 hours. It was then that I heard that in the world around us, only 1 in 3 people have access to clean water. If all of us do, think of the number of people who don't. In Songombele, someone had to get the water every day. They didn't have a faucet. They didn't have a well by their own house. It was mothers or fathers or children or single people. Sometimes it was villagers together, but someone had to get the water. While we were at the ground wells, there was an ox cart that came in carrying 4 50-gallon drums. The people there had come from a Maasai village between 5 and 10 kilometers away, and they filled the water drums while the ox drank, and then they returned home to empty those same drums, turn around, come back, and do the whole thing all over again for the sake of the herds in their village. All day, every day, someone had to fetch the water, water which we can turn on a faucet and have access to. In today's gospel story, we have Jesus and a woman who meet by a well. Jesus is physically thirsty, but this woman is thirsty all the way down to her soul. This encounter is near Sychar in Samaria, at Jacob's well. The disciples have gone off to find food and Jesus remains. And while Jesus was there resting, someone comes at noontime in the heat of the day when the water is most difficult to get at. And there Jesus begins a conversation. Jesus looks up and he asks for a drink of water. He doesn't have the means to get one and she does. Now this woman is absolutely surprised that Jesus even speaks to her. First of all, she's a Samaritan, considered by the Jews to be mongrels and barely human. They were kept at arm's length and they were never spoken to. She was also a woman who a good, pious Jewish man would never speak to unless they were related, and only then if they absolutely had to. So this woman is startled when Jesus speaks to her, treating her like anyone else, maybe even treating her like a fellow human being. They begin a quick and witty conversation that ends with Jesus offering to give her living water. Now, like Nicodemus last week, she's confused. She thinks that Jesus is saying that he can make it so that she doesn't need water anymore. That's not what Jesus is saying. But when she asked Jesus to give her that water, his response is, go, get your husband, come back. This leads to the revelation that she is unwed, at least now. She has been married 5 times and isn't right now. Now, she may have been widowed 5 times. She may have been divorced 5 times. There may have been any number of combinations of those two things. But this woman feels cast out by family, cast out by all of the villagers around her, and so many more because of that past. This woman is thirsty for a relationship. Not necessarily just a relationship with a man, but a relationship with someone who will see her. She thirsts for recognition as a human being. And as in Jesus invites her to conversation, he also gives her that invitation to living water. Jesus is trying to show this woman and all of us that God's love is this living water, that God's presence and grace, his forgiveness and hope, all of that is the living water and more. What Jesus is hoping is that all of us will begin to imagine a time, imagine a place, imagine right now, where the love of God is as common and everyday as water. That's what Jesus is pointing us all to. For what do we use water? We use it in cleaning and cooking and drinking and life itself and so much more. Nothing is more common or more necessary for all of us In Sangombele, someone has to fetch the water every day. The living water that Jesus promises is a relationship with God that helps to clean us. It feeds us. It slakes our thirst for forgiveness, life, and salvation. And this living water is as common and ordinary as water for the likes of us who come here to receive it always. This is what Jesus is hoping that we will realize. In His living and caring, in His suffering and death, in His resurrection, Jesus shows us the depth and the breadth of God's love for us all. We have hope because of God's love. We have hope because God is love. Jesus' ministry is a way for Him to give us access to that living water and God's love. As we thirst for righteousness and for a relationship, Jesus provides the living water. He provides the living water of God's love for our benefit. So, as we see others around us thirsting for recognition as human beings, thirsting for relationships that aren't built on what you can do for me, but on some kind of mutual love and respect that comes from God, we can provide that same living water for their benefit because Jesus is by our side. You see that woman in the story today at the well? She was other. Compared to Nicodemus last week, who was a learned male Pharisee Jew, this woman is a woman from Samaria who has got more complications in her life. She is so other. The disciples saw her as other. The villagers saw her and reacted to her as other. And Jesus loved her. He saw her as a real human being. He spoke with her. He blessed her. Jesus is showing us all that living water comes for all people, even the other, even our other. Who are the people that make us feel most uncomfortable to be around? Who are the people that we avoid at work or at school? Jesus is with these others as much as with us, and Jesus encourages us to be with them and for them. Even if it's just to listen or to give them a bottle of water, we are called to share God's love with all people. That's what it means to be born again from above. That's what it means to be filled with, washed with, cleaned by the living water of God's love. We reach out as we are able, following Jesus into the world in love. Today from Exodus, we watched as God provides water from a rock in spite of all of Israel's whining. Today, in our gospel, we see that Jesus is granting access to that same source, to God's love for us all, as He provides living water. Someone has to fetch that water. Let it be us. Amen. Please rise as we join together, continuing our Lenten confession. Holy God, have mercy on me in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. O purify me, then shall I be clean. O wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets us free. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all creation. We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interreligious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel, that all experience your life-giving love. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the universe. All creation teems with life, from the depths of the earth and seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and the preservation of life. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Be present with all who are lonely and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illness or other sickness. Give them your living water always. Lord, in your mercy, God of healing and grace, there are many who need your presence and power. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us, who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Randy, Phyllis, Cody, Stephanie, LaRue, Judith, Shirley, Diane, Ashley, and Rhonda. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this congregation, especially for those who are preparing for baptism and confirmation. Nurture their faith and pour your love into their hearts. Inspire our community by their testimony to God's grace in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for the lives of all your saints. Especially today, we remember Robert Althoff. Their hope in you sustained lives of faith and service. Encourage us with the hope they shared in you. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, let us now pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path. Wherever it takes you and to whomever it takes you, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Enjoy the snow if you can. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Nothing does.